Did you lose your head or your headset?
Headset.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, Saturday we had Philomena over for a omelet breakfast, and I misplaced everything that was on the kitchen table,
which
included the headset.
At least you don't keep your headset in the oven.
Why would I do that?
I don't know. Some people keep comics in the oven, so maybe you keep your headset in the oven.
Yeah, but that's to ensure that they're baked fresh.
I guess. Yeah. Have I talked to you about poached eggs yet?
In our 4 years of conversating, I'm thinking we talked poached eggs before, but if you stumbled across some new poaching, then no, we haven't.
So here's the deal. I never made poached eggs until a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Yes, never made them.
Do you do the cyclone of water and then pop in the egg with a little bit of vinegar?
Yes, the cyclone of water. However, let me say this.
Yes?
Not only did I never make them until last week, I have never had one that I made until today.
Wait, you've never had a poached egg?
I mean, I've had a poached egg, but I've never made one and then eaten it.
Wait, so are you saying 14 years ago you made a poached egg but you never ate them? Or are you saying you've never had you've never made a poached egg, hence why you've never had one that you've made?
Dude, the first time I made a poached egg was like 2 weeks ago.
Well, that's like me saying I've never had bone marrow that I've made until last week when I made bone marrow and had it.
I guess that's true.
What are we doing here? Is this a Seinfeld episode? What the hell's going on over here?
Isn't every episode a Seinfeld episode?
That's true.
I don't remember how the jingle goes. Yeah, there you go. But they're quite delicious, let me say.
They're always good.
I remember eating it at least once.
In a restaurant?
Yes. At the Eggs Up Grill.
You're not a Eggs Benedict fan?
Look, I don't know how you think this goes, okay? I know you've heard about pretentiousness, but I'm a very simple man when it comes to eggs.
No.
I like Sunny Side Up.
Birds in a Nest.
I like, Bullseyes, Birds in a Nest, whatever you want to call it.
Well, they're both different.
And I like scrambled. Very simple.
I mean, Birds in a Nest is an egg surrounded by hash browns, where a bullseye is toast.
Oh, I see.
Yes, yeah.
But I mean, like, it's still like an egg, just like a fried egg.
Unless I'm doing omelets, my go-to is the poached egg, whether that's a skillet or how do you want your eggs on a 2x4 or moons over my hammy. I'll be like, yeah, poach that egg, because you can almost always be guaranteed that that's going to be a runny yolk, where you can't be guaranteed with any other type of egg.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because now I think my whole world has shifted.
Ooh.
With this poached egg thing.
Yeah.
Because I always love an egg on like a certain type of meal, right? So like when I go get Korean food, for example, like a Korean barbecue, mm-hmm. I get the fried rice that's fried with kimchi, and they always put a sunny side egg on top.
Yeah.
Right? Because you cut into it, and the yolk like drips down into it, so it kills some of the heat, and then it gives you that umami flavor with the yolk, right?
Yeah.
When I was growing up, my dad used to do the same thing with like spaghetti, right? So instead of making a ragu for the spaghetti, you just make the spaghetti, and then you toss them in butter, and then you serve them on a plate, put the Parmesan cheese on it, and then you do a fried egg on top.
So Nelson did, what was it, carbonara?
Well,
what was that called?
Carbonara is when you put a pepper on it.
Oh, I thought that was the runny yolk.
I mean, I guess you could put the runny yolk on it.
But Nelson was—he was old school fancy. Mm-hmm. Look at him,
old school fancy.
Tom Wetmore would only do scrambled eggs.
Really?
He did them great, but he was a man of very simple means. So you got your scrambled egg. That's about it. Like, he didn't even do pancakes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So I'm thinking now for the future, if I like make kimchi fried rice, or if I make spaghetti, maybe I'll just do poached eggs.
Yeah.
Instead of the sunny side up eggs.
It's so easy.
It's very easy. And so I think what works on it, right, is the runniness of the yolk.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But there's something
as
about
well, like, as eyeballing it.
Yes.
Like during that cyclone of water, you can really look at it and pay attention and know if it's going to go over.
Well, and there's something about the way that you cook a poached egg that like converts the yolk into more of like a velvety texture, right? Because like with a sunny side up egg, the yolk is still like fairly runny, right? Like it's cooked, right? Yeah. It's not like a raw yolk,
right?
But it's runny,
right?
With a poached egg, it's somewhere like in between. It's like a what's that cheese called? Labda. It's like halfway between like a liquid and a gel. You know what I mean? It's like a very thick liquid.
Yeah, barely hanging on.
Yeah, so it works really well as like a sauce. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course it does.
My mind has been expanded. I thought mushrooms did that. No, the egg yolks have done it.
Now you can throw that on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to make it better. Like people are so poo-poo with their traditional pizza toppings. I wouldn't mind a poached egg on top of a piece of pizza. What the hell? Throw some of that on there.
You are blowing my mind right now. I have never considered an egg on a pizza.
Why not? With some nice sausage or pepperoni? Yeah. Yes, please. With that runny yolk? Oh, yes.
I don't see why not. So Reagan had never had a poached egg until today.
Ever.
Ever.
Oh, man. Daddy just turned her on to something.
Ever. So we woke up late. Like, I woke up at like 11.
Uh-oh.
And everyone was just getting up. So I was like, I'm going to make breakfast. And I looked in there and I just had eggs. So I was like, I'm going to make eggs. So I asked Zoe, and Zoe wants bullseyes, of course. And I was like, yeah, bullseye sounds good. So I'm going to make myself some bullseyes. And Reagan was still asleep, so I asked my wife. She's like, I want poached eggs. And she likes them on toast with a little bit of pepper and cheese on top.
Does she want them in different compartments on the paper plate?
Oddly enough, no. Oddly enough, she wants it directly on the toast.
Wow.
And here's the weird thing. My wife does not like sunny side up eggs, for example, because she doesn't like the runny yolk. Like whenever I make the bullseyes for her, it has to be like well done.
So you're actually puncturing the yolk to make sure that it's cooked.
No. With the poached eggs, it has to be runny.
No, I'm saying with a bullseye.
Oh.
Because usually that's what I do. I stick a fork or a knife into it to make sure that yolk's cracked, so there's no way that'll be runny.
No, I don't do that. Because you can actually, if you eyeball it, you can figure out if it's done or not.
Yeah, I know. I'm a layman. What can I say?
With the poached egg,
then she does want it runny.
Yes. Which is weird, right?
Weird.
Very weird.
You gotta talk to her.
So as I'm making the eggs for everyone, Reagan comes downstairs. And so I was like, do you want some eggs? And Reagan doesn't like eggs. She's like, nah, I'm good. I was like, all right. So I bring my wife her first poached egg. Because it takes like 5 minutes to poach an egg. So I've got like two pots going, right? One for the bullseyes, one for the poached eggs. And so I bring it to her. And Reagan's like, oh, I want to try that. So my wife gives her that one. And I was like, well, I'll just make, like, two more, right?
Yeah, why not?
You're
feeling awfully confident at this point. You're like, that was pretty easy, and that looked pretty darn good.
Look, it is extremely simple. Like, the first time I made him, I messed up.
But it very professional.
It does look like, professional.
All the mystery goes right away, and then you're like, how many restaurants did I go into, order poached eggs, and they came out not runny? You mother effer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, this is not rocket science here.
Nope. Nope, and it's very simple. We'll talk about how to make one in case nobody's ever made one before.
No, go ahead.
But so I give her that one, and she really liked it. So she wanted another one, but not on toast, just the egg.
Oh.
And the whole time, she's trying to figure out, how is it that she has this perfectly cooked egg in the shape of an egg, but it was not boiled in a shell?
Did it look like a quenelle? Because sometimes they come out looking like a quenelle.
It looked like a soft-boiled egg.
Okay. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
with
I know
the
what you mean. Yeah, yeah, I know what you
yeah,
mean.
Yeah, yeah. Because sometimes if you don't put in enough vinegar, it looks like a monster. Mm-hmm. It looks like an alien.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it like explodes.
Yeah.
No, so I figured, so there's two things. So number one, you're right. Because if you look this up, everywhere will tell you 1 teaspoon of vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, 1 teaspoon of vinegar, not enough.
Not enough.
You need like 3 teaspoons of vinegar.
Yeah, okay? Unless you're doing it in such a small pot. But you have to be uber skilled to do it in that small of a pot for 1 teaspoon.
I mean, I did them in small pots. They were quart pots.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, those are professional.
Oh, yeah.
No. Like, give me a larger pot. Who the hell cares? You could dump in a gallon of vinegar. You ain't going to taste it.
That's true.
I want that to come out beautifully.
So you got to do 3, not 1. 1, yeah. Preposterous. Because that's how I did it the first time with 1. And it had, mm-hmm. like... It looked like, you know, the egg got herpes or something.
Yeah, it's like an alien.
On the edges,
It's like when somebody would look at your skin through a microscope. It's like, what the hell's that thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Because it's not uniformed whatsoever.
Yep. All right, here's tip number 2. So you get the water boiling, right? And then you start spinning the water. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, though. You can't just continue spinning because then the egg might blow up. And the thing is, mm-hmm. you don't want to stay there and, like, spin the water, even, like, slowly.
No, it's only for the beginning.
Right. Number 2, if you – obviously, once you put the egg, you have to, like, turn the water down, right? Because if mm-hmm. the water's bubbling, you're going to get herpes eggs.
Right.
Episode title. You don't want herpes eggs.
Right.
So what I did is I took the water out – took the pot off the heat for 30 seconds, and that's when I start spinning.
Mm-hmm.
And I put the egg in. And the key to the egg I figured out is a very, like, a deep, like, soup ladle is what I used.
Sure,
because the first time I used just a spoon, a big cooking spoon.
Yeah.
And I think that was too shallow. And so when I took the egg out, it actually broke the egg.
I could see that, yeah.
But with a deep spoon ladle, it works pretty well. Plus, it makes it easier to dump it in. Because all you do is, like, lower the spoon very slowly into the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just starts spinning and you're done. The thing I did notice, though, is I had to take a spoon and just like hit the water up a couple times. Otherwise, the egg would get stuck to the bottom of the pan.
Sure.
Right? Because the bottom of the pan's a lot hotter than the water is.
Mm-hmm.
But once I figured all that out, I'm telling you, Nick, perfectly round eggs. It looks like you cooked a soft-boiled egg in the shell.
Yeah, it's nice.
But it was nice. I'll give you that.
It's so easy. Oh.
Yep. But not very filling. For some reason, I feel like other types of egg cooking techniques, make the eggs more filling.
Yeah, and you go to a restaurant and it's like, oh, 2 poached eggs. That sounds good. But then you always forget how much crap they add to those 2 poached eggs, and then you're full.
Mm.
But you have it at home with, like, 2 poached eggs and some toast, and it's just not filling.
Yeah. Maybe I need to, like, put some MSG in it.
Or some kimchi fried rice.
Oh, my God.
Do it up.
I need to. That's the next thing. I don't have any kimchi right now.
Dang it. What's that hot house that's out in the back? Come on. Start fermenting some stuff over there.
I need to. All I have fermenting right now are some pickles.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
But this, you know what? I think we read each other's mind. I wish we had show notes like we did before. Our Google Doc has been dropped off the banana hammock, and then somebody ran it over with a lawnmower, so we don't have our Google Doc anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But strangely enough, last weekend I went to a farmer's market and we decided, because we see all these YouTube videos and they promote these eggs, and we're pretty hippy dippy when it comes to, like, we want fresh, organic, farm raised, you know, out in the pasture, walking around, not caged. You know, we are hippy dippy brown egg people.
Mm-hmm.
But we see these videos on YouTube. And at first I was like, well, they're in London, so of course those yolks are going to be bright orange. But over here in America, I can't find those. But I've been seeing all these orange, beautifully, like, orange yellow yolks. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I figured, let's go to the farmer's market and let's buy a dozen, you know, organic, you know, just like the best of the best. Let's get the Cadillac. Let's spend some money and get the Cadillac. And certainly we did spend over twice the amount that we would ever spend on a dozen eggs. But I figure, hey, I want these mother effing orange yolks.
Mm.
Got them home. I hard boiled like a few for the week. So that's easy peasy. And then I made these omelets. And right when I cracked them open, they were the same GD pale yellow color. And I even asked the wife, can you taste the difference? Is there any difference in the texture? Is there any because there certainly is no difference in the color of the yolk. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Or did I just buy some old ass organic eggs? I don't know. So it was strange that we started off the show talking about poached eggs, because man, that stuck in my craw.
Well, so like how much more were these eggs?
Oh, they were much, like I said, they were over two times the amount that I would ever spend on regular organic eggs.
See, because like, I mean,
I'm not talking like 99 cent, like cheapo, you know, grocery eggs. Yeah. No, we buy organic eggs. They're usually, I want to say $3.29.
Yeah, that sounds and about right.
We spent over, I think we spent $6.99 a dozen for these.
Mm.
But like I said, I don't do it often, so I'm like, I'm going to splurge because I want because that orange yolk just looks so darn good. I'm like, I want that. I want to see how much better that tastes. Sure enough, I got them. And the eggs that we hard boiled, dude, they were, and I didn't hard boil them long. Like I usually like to keep the yolk, you know, semi, not runny, but like barely cooked.
Yeah.
But I also want to leave them in the fridge so Liz and I can just quickly eat them, you know, on the way out. For breakfast. And those organic farm raised, pasture raised, blah 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 from farmer, you know, Sean, those eggs were the like hardest rubbery hard-boiled eggs I've had in like 2 years. So, I couldn't believe how horrible they were.
How long did you boil these eggs for?
I don't know. I throw them in and I just let them soft boil.
So my wife is making hard-boiled eggs right now, actually, and I know that they're going to be overdone because I told her last time that she made them. You boil the water. When the water's boiling, you throw the eggs in. You cook them for 7 minutes in boiling water, and you take the pot off the heat.
Yeah.
Well, the pot's still on there.
She's going to boil them until the water runs out. Come on.
The heat's off, but the eggs are still in there, so it doesn't really matter because they're still boiling.
Still going.
She doesn't seem to understand that. But 7 minutes, that's all you need. 7 minutes. Boiling water, 7 minutes.
But it was so disappointing, dude. And I am like a huge, like my wife's always like, dude, don't believe the hype with these farmer markets. Come on. It's not like these are garden fresh stuff that you're getting. Most of it is from greenhouses anyway. Come on. And
yeah.
I'm always the people, I'm the sucker, I'm the mark that's like, look at all these cheeses. These are awesome. Oh, you know, Farmer Sean's making these with his own two hands. I don't know. He could just be going to the grocery store up the street and wrapping them in saran wrap. I don't know.
That's right. Yeah, you got to be careful with like organic or free range or any of that kind of egg. Because from what I've noticed, it's more about the farm than what the label is. So I don't know if you know like what.
Trust me on this.
Yeah.
I follow all of that crap. I realize, like, even if it says organic, if they're feeding them organic corn, that's bullshit. You mm-hmm. should never want them to eat that. You should. And trust me, I pay attention. Like, I am so far up that butt. Oh. And Julie, the cruise director, she's all over that shit. So if it slips by me, she's even like, why does this, like, what's crazy? Like, you look at, like, bone, like, beef broth.
Mm-hmm.
Or bone broth. If it says on that natural flavoring, why does it need natural flavoring? Or natural colors, artificial colors,
mm-hmm.
to make it look more brown, to make it look more beefy or taste more beefy? No, it should taste like beef. It should look, even if it looks pale, why are you adding any additives? So trust me, I am so far down that road, but I was pissed that I spent over two times the amount and got crappy. And even my wife, I mean, she wasn't upset. I was upset because I spent that extra money. And she was just like, well, they might have been, you know, checked all the boxes, but who knows how long he's had those eggs in the back of his truck. Who the hell knows? They could be 3 week old eggs. We don't know.
So I need to find this documentary. I watched a documentary once about like the history of food in America. And what you're saying reminds me of that exact thing. Because the thing that stood out to me, there was a story on there about butter. Because I don't know if you know how much you know about butter, but butter is not yellow. Butter is clear.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that it's yellow is because it was like mandated that it had to be yellow by whatever food people.
Yeah.
And there was some reason for it. In fact, there was like this whole lawsuit thing when they like invented margarine because margarine was dyed yellow so it would look like butter, and then the butter people were all pissed off. And you have that now.
Was this Food Inc?
No, it was not Food Inc.
Okay, because that one's very popular and very good. But
it is very good. But you have that now too with like almond milks and like all the nut milks.
Oh yeah,
where dairy farmers are suing companies where like they can't call almond milk, right? It has to be called like whatever almond juice or something. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, nowhere on there does it say anything about milk.
Right. Like, have well, you, milk comes from a cow.
This is very strange because this was going to be my next topic. Have you seen Oatly yet?
What is it?
Oatly.
No.
Oatly.
No.
It is an almond or a oat fluid and then in quotation marks milk.
Mm.
It's oat milk, but they just officially can't call it milk. But they ran into the same problem that almond milk ran into, not being able to call it milk, even though it's a milk substitute.
Oh, and it comes in a nice milk carton.
Yes.
Like an old school milk carton.
It's, I guess, the new hip pinkies up milk substitute.
Yeah, it looks very hipster. They have a great website.
Yeah, it's supposed to be I like the packaging a lot, but it's supposed to be very good. I heard it's very carb heavy, but I heard it's a great substitute.
I'm sure it is. It's oats.
Yeah.
I like flaxseed milk.
Well, officially not milk, but yes.
Yes, flaxseed liquid. I love flaxseed liquid. It's delicious.
I've never had it. I've had rice.
It's really good.
I've had rice, soy, almond, and now I want to try oat, but I've never had flaxseed.
Yeah, get the flaxseed liquid. It's very good. It's got like a little sweetness to it. It's really good. Yeah. I actually prefer it to all the other ones. We don't drink milk here. My wife actually only buys almond milk. Nice. Almond liquid. But it works very well. I made some Alfredo sauce the other day with the almond fluid.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite delicious.
It sounds good.
I had to add a little bit of flour to it because it was still a little runny, but it's very good.
That sounds good.
Yep, it was good. What was it that I made? I made a shrimp and spinach fettuccine Alfredo.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you are swinging out the pastas left and right.
Yeah.
Now let me throw something. We just bought a kitchen gadget, and it is the most basic ass kitchen gadget. We just never have owned one.
Oh, I love gadgets. Which one?
In the 3 decades that we were together, we have never owned one. We finally got, and I want to ask you if you had the reason we got it was for Julie, the cruise director, to make this recipe.
Ah. Huh.
But we finally bought a hand mixer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We have a stationary mixer. We have a Cuisinart. But the recipe said, no, you need a hand mixer.
I have only owned hand mixers.
I know. It's such a basic gadget. But, yeah, we never did.
Well, you know, there is a very basic gadget I do not own.
A whisk?
A mandolin.
Oh my god, I can't live without the mandolin.
I like to cut it with a knife. I'm old school, bro.
I like to cut things with a knife too, but when I want to julienne something up real quick,
it's
that mandolin.
Julienning with a knife is rough.
Oh yeah.
But hand mixer. So what was the recipe?
Okay. You know I'm living the low carb life.
Yes.
Julie the Cruise director is doing a 21-day no sugar cleanse.
Nice.
And she's wrapping that up real soon. Well, she found a recipe for cloud bread. Have you ever had such a thing?
No. I'm assuming it's very fluffy.
Yes, hence the hand mixer. It's made with like egg whites that you fluff up, that you get air into.
I have heard of this, yes. The mixer. Yeah.
And she had a recipe that was aping like Italian focaccia bread.
Mm.
So you make it, she just added in just generic quote unquote Italian season. And she added, I think, two other ingredients. And then you just do them on like a sheet tray,
mm-hmm.
throw them in the oven, and it's made with like cheese, hence the focaccia.
Right.
Cheese and egg whites. So there's no flour. And because when she gave it to me, because she made a sandwich out of it. And when she gave it to me, I looked at her and I'm like, seriously, how many carbs are in this? Because it was fluffy.
Huh.
I mean, it was a good quarter inch. So if you've ever had, and I even told Julie, the cruise director, if anyone's ever had one of those bagel thins and made sandwiches on those that you can find in any grocery store, it was exactly that size. But it tasted 10 times better.
Interesting.
Because it was real fresh. So there's no preservatives in them. So she has to store them in the fridge. And then before you like put something on it, whether it's a salad or a sandwich or whatever, you just throw it into like a toaster oven just to heat it up a bit. And you can make small little pizzas with them. But I'm telling you, dude, it tasted like a bagel thin, except really? A real fresh bagel thin. It was crazy how it tricked. The texture was awesome. The taste was really good. And it like the texture in my mouth. It really like tricked my mouth into believing that it was bread. All right. It was crazy.
So was it crispy?
It was, you could have got it crispy, but she said one of the drawbacks was everyone saying that it quickly can burn and she didn't want to like hover over it and worry about it burning. Cause she knew if it was burned, that bitter burn taste, I would instantly be drawn to that and be like, no, I don't want this again. Like, so, she's made banana bread,
right?
Without traditional flour. She would use like, I think it was almond flour or macadamia nut flour, and it always came out too gummy for me. Like, I'm a big texture guy and I love texture, but don't tell me it's banana quick bread and then I eat it and it's a little mushy because of the like weird flour. It's not like a flour that rises really well.
So the reason I ask is because I don't know if you remember when I made the keto taco shells.
Mm, okay.
But it was similar to what you're saying. It was mostly egg whites mm-hmm. that you fluff in a hand mixer. But then you added coconut flour.
Oh, interesting.
Which made it like soft and pliable, like a soft taco shell. But the problem was that it kind of tasted like coconut.
And there was a sweetness to it.
Well, no, there's no sweetness.
Oh, okay.
But it was like that coconutty flavor. You know what I mean? Like you can tell, because like taco tortillas are made with corn.
Yeah.
Right? So when you taste them, like you can kind of taste the corn.
Yeah, there's a texture to them.
Yeah. But you know, when you use a different flour, it's going to kind of taste like whatever flour you're using. And mm-hmm. this recipe that I had found was basically egg whites, coconut flour, and I think garlic powder mm-hmm. For flavoring. And, like, in terms of the look and the feel, it was great. Like, they were very strong enough to make a taco out of them. But in terms of the flavor, like, they did not taste like taco shells.
Did they have the same texture?
Close enough.
Okay. So yeah, it would enough. Be, would it be passable for like, oh no, these are soft shell flour tortillas. Texture wise, would they be passable like that?
Yes. Until you put them in your mouth.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, this cloud bread, because my mom is always looking for like, she doesn't like a lot of breads or pastas because of that. And I even told Julie, the cruise director, we got to get these to my mom. We have to like give her just a couple and like, just try these. Cause it was so strange. And I even told Julie, the cruise director, cause we made a sandwich. I'm like, I could have just done with one and done an open face sandwich.
Mm.
Like you didn't need all of it. It felt like I was eating too much bread. Wow. That's how it tricked my head. It was really bizarre.
Huh.
But it was delightful. Oh my gosh. I highly recommend trying it. And my wife was like, they're so easy to make too, especially if you have the hand mixer. Oh my gosh, they were so easy.
Interesting. I might need to try that.
Yeah, I can get you the recipe if you need it.
Yeah, so. Yeah, get me the recipe. You said it's just okay. Cheese and egg whites?
Yeah, it's like cheese, egg whites, and cream of tartar, I want to say.
Mm. That might be part of the fluffiness. Okay.
Maybe. Yeah, because they stayed really nice. And I mean, my wife's done like tortillas and even tried like non-cornmeal tortillas, and they always were a little bit weird or funky or dry or just no flavor or a weird texture.
Mm.
And these I they were spectacular. I was shocked that there was no flour in them because they were fluffy. Obviously the egg whites did what they had to do.
I might need to experiment with that because I've made like I don't know if you've made like cheddar crisps.
Oh yeah.
It seems like maybe it's a similar process to cheddar crisp.
Maybe. Mm. And I even said, was there a lot of cheese in it? And she goes, no, it's more of like a binder type of thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, and she said that there's recipes that have like curry powder in them, and there's like a variety of like seasonings that you can put in them to just alter the like flavor that you're going for.
I mean, I just make something plain because, you know, Reagan doesn't like any weird flavors.
Yeah.
Like I made chili this past week and like she ate some of it, but she didn't finish her bowl. Cause she said it kind of tasted like curry and I don't even know like what spice I put in there to make it taste like curry. Like maybe oregano. I don't know. I have no idea.
Like turmeric maybe?
No, there was no turmeric in it.
Was there beans or no beans?
No, I did no beans.
Oh, fancy.
No beans, but I did use green chilies.
Ooh, nice. So I like that.
To give it a little heat.
Nice.
Yeah, it's
very
good.
Did you fire roast those?
No.
Oh, okay.
I did not. And then I served them over some quinoa.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, it was good. Cause I'm not a quinoa fan, so it kind of worked out.
It masked it just enough for you?
Yeah. I mean, like, quinoa is fine, but, like, it doesn't taste like anything.
You're like, this isn't cornbread that I'm putting over underneath that chili, so let's be serious, people.
Yeah. I was like, it needs some kind of grain, and I looked around, and I don't want to use anything, really. So I was like, quinoa. This has been in the cupboard for a while. Yeah, it's good. It was, black and white quinoa.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did go to Costco this weekend, and I looked for your mushroom snacks.
Did
no,
you?
No luck, dude.
What?
I know. But you know how Costco's are. They have stuff in 1 week, and then the very next week, it's like, where did it go?
Yeah, that's true.
Unless it says Kirkwood on it. If it's their brand, it'll always be there. But you know what I did find that I don't know if you'll be able to find. It might just be local to my market, but a new... Not a new brand. The brand is Amy Lou, but a new flavor of chicken sausage.
Oh?
Michigan cherry. Uh-huh. And it adds just enough sweetness to it. And you know how, like, deep and rich, like, cherries can be? Like, cooked cherries?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it had that.
Really?
It was really, really good. And they do a good chicken sausage. But it added just a little bit of, like, sweetness to it.
Hmm. See, I'm not a huge fan of cherries. This had me worried. But I want to try it.
But I don't know if it would get to you, because it's Michigan cherry. That sounds like something that we always get here in the Midwest. I don't know if it would make its way down to you. But, ooh, if it does, ooh, lordy.
See, I don't generally purchase cherries, so I couldn't tell you. But I'll have to look.
And my new favorite, chicken sausage on the market since we haven't talked in a month, because it just came out. And I follow, because this company is local to me, and I think they're test marketing this flavor of chicken sausage. The company's Gilbert's. And Gilbert's, for me, that's the Cadillac of chicken sausage. And shockingly, it's local to me. Their new flavor that I'm over the moon on, because it is a little sweet, but so the umami, like, richness is freaking incredible. They do a feta and fig chicken sausage. And you can't find, you can only find it at two different chains that are in Illinois right now. I even wrote to them, I'm like, will this ever be available at Costco or Meijer's grocery store? Because those are close to me. And they're like, no, not at this moment. Right now, it's only available here and here. It's like, dang it. But oh man, that fig, you know how like rich that, like how savory and rich like figs are? Oh, mamacita. And then with feta cheese? Ooh.
You just wanted to eat a bunch of wasp eggs. That's what you're saying.
You got it, my friend. When I see Heather, we'll be making her some poached eggs. some bullseye. And then I'll have a nice sausage right there. And I'll be like, it's very healthy. It only has 3 carb grams. And it's chicken, so it's good for you. And then when she takes a bite, I'll give you a little knowing wink. And we'll both be like, that's feta pig. Wink, wink. And she'll love it.
I think the last time she had fig was at her company Christmas party a couple years ago. Oh, man. It's too good. It's too good.
Yeah.
No, that's good. That's very good. I haven't really been too adventurous in my cooking, to be honest with you. I made what's that super cheap-ass fish?
Tilapia?
No, the other one. Whiting. Whiting? Whiting?
Whitefish?
How do you pronounce that? Is it whiting?
Whiting? I thought it was whiting.
Okay, whiting. Yeah, I made that for the first time.
Oh. You can't really screw that up.
I mean, I guess.
I mean, it's like, it's a flavorless fish that you have to add flavor to.
Yeah, it's not my favorite, Nick. I gotta tell you.
No. That's why it's mass-produced.
Yeah, I don't like it. That probably explains why I never had it before. But my wife got some. She's like, I was going to get such and such, and they didn't have any, so I got this fish. And I was like, isn't that like poor people fish? I didn't say that, but I thought of it. And it was fine.
That is a very flavor-neutral fish.
Yeah,
for sure.
I had to add a lot of stuff to it. So yeah. I put it in a Pyrex pan.
Mm-hmm.
And I did almond milk,
mm-hmm,
to like go halfway up and keep it moist. Mm-hmm. Moist. I took half a stick of butter, I melted it, and then I coated the fish with it. And I did salt, pepper, paprika, garlic powder, onion powder, and then I took some bell peppers and onions, fried them up, and I put them on top.
Mm-hmm.
And then Parmesan cheese.
Oh,
and then,
nice.
Baked them 30 minutes. They were fine.
Nice.
I ended up frying the bottoms of them for like 30 seconds just to give it a little
crispy
char.
Skin?
Yeah. They were fine. I don't think it's like – it's not like one of those things where – like if I go to a restaurant and I'm like, what's the fish of the day? And they're like whiting, I'm going to be like, I'll pass.
Yeah, you got to put a lot of lipstick on that thing to make that good.
Yeah.
Do you have Aldi by you?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, good. I didn't know if that was a national chain or not.
Yep.
I went in there and we got Alaskan pole caught or wild caught, whatever the hell it's called, salmon.
Mm.
And it wasn't a bad price. And needless to say, we ate it both of us for 2 meals each. So 4 times. But I put a little, we went to, what the hell was it? Oh, not Trader Joe's, World Market.
Ah.
And they had like pre-made spices, and I picked up a Chipotle barbecue. So I dry rubbed that bad dog.
Nice.
Woo! And then the wife made, we're big into cauliflower rice.
Mm-hmm.
And she found a recipe that turned with, that you do like fish sauce, coconut aminos, and like 3 other things, ginger maybe, and like a few spices, and it apes the flavor of fried rice.
Really?
And sure enough, Julie the cruise director added 3 times too much fish sauce. And hey, Martino, just to let you know, put a little fish sauce behind your ears and I'll be right at your neck all night because I am a fucking sucker for fish sauce. I can't have enough of that. Yeah. Oh my God.
It's that umami. So by her,
yes. So for her to accidentally do that, I'm like, I don't care what the recipe says. You have to do that moving forward because that was some good cauliflower fried rice. Oh my gosh, that was so good.
With fish sauce, hey?
Oh yeah. And the coconut aminos. So it was like soy sauce, fish sauce. It was good.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to try that. We got sushi last night. Ooh. And I had a roll. I can't remember what the name of the roll was, but I've never had it before. Okay. And it was topped with like really thin slices of strawberry.
What?
And it had like a couple of drips of this like strawberry sauce. It's not quite jam.
Whoa.
Like a sauce.
Okay.
And then like a drip of, I'm assuming sriracha because it was like a reddish sauce for like a little spice. It was very interesting.
This wasn't dessert sushi?
No, it was not. It was I'm trying to think what was in it. Obviously, this one had rice. Mm-hmm. The filling was, let me think, I think crab, shrimp tempura, and maybe like cucumber because it had a little crunch. And then it had a – it wasn't like all wrapped, but it was like a slice of avocado over it.
Nice.
And then this strawberry sauce, the little piece of strawberry, and a little dab of some kind of hot sauce.
Dang.
And boy, let me tell you, that shit was delicious.
What made you go for that one? Because if I read strawberry on a non-sweet roll, I don't know if I would have been drawn to that.
So my wife and Reagan had gone to this place a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And they ordered 2 rolls, and they're like, just give us a third, so just surprise us. And the guy brought this roll out.
Sheesh, okay.
And they brought leftovers home, and mm-hmm. I had the leftovers, and there was one piece of this one on there. And I was like, holy shit, like, this is delicious. Like, I love sushi of any kind.
Yeah.
But like, you know me, I hate sweet.
Yeah.
But there was something about like that little bit of strawberry to it that just made the whole thing come together.
So obviously that server knows his S.
Yeah.
If somebody's like, oh, just surprise me. And your mind goes, I'm going to freak them out. I'm giving them the strawberry. And then for it to be a complete home run with 3 people, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. So we went and she's like, what do you want to get? And I mean, there's certain things that I like, I want to have every time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
are there things that you avoid at sushi places too?
No.
I want to hear both.
No, I don't really avoid any of them. I try to avoid the ones that like don't have rice, right? So like a roll with quinoa, for example, like, or like brown rice. It doesn't quite taste the same in a sushi roll. Or like purely vegetable ones, which my wife ordered one. It was, what was it? Zucchini maybe? And it was cut in like into a spiral. And so the filling was rolled into the slice of zucchini.
Boy, that sounds like an Instagram shot right there.
I mean, it was good, but like, it's like when you go to Chicago and get Chicago pizza, you know what I mean? And you grew up with New York pizza. You're like, okay, I see how this is pizza, but it's not really pizza.
Yeah, it's one of those things that everyone should try.
Yeah.
Do you want to eat a constant diet of it? Probably not.
Right. So, like, to me, it wasn't, like, really sushi. But, like, all right. Just to try something that I don't normally get, that's cool.
You know what and this is just personal preference for me. I don't want any sushi that has cream cheese in it. Just because I don't like cream cheese all that much. I don't want it with sushi.
Yep.
That's one I avoid.
When we get a roll that has cream cheese in it, my wife always asks for extra cream cheese.
Oh.
Yeah. To me, it doesn't work. It, like, texture doesn't go well with the rest of it to me.
Yeah. Yeah, same here.
But so this zucchini, I'm pretty sure it was zucchini. It might have been something else. Maybe it was like a soft cucumber. It was fine.
Sure.
But not my favorite. As I realized after I took a piece of each of the rolls, we got four different rolls.
Nice.
I looked down and I was like, babe, you ordered all shrimp tempura rolls.
I was going to say, you can't F up anything with shrimp tempura. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's like adding bacon to anything. Like, sure. It's always going to be good.
Sure. But like, yeah. what are the chances?
Right.
And like, she hadn't even realized, and I hadn't realized either because I didn't look at the menu. She's like, what do you want to order? And I was like, just, you know, pick three or four rolls or whatever. We'll just munch on that.
I will say I fall into the Heather trap because I love spice. Mm-hmm. So I'm the one that's like, ooh, that has whatever the spice symbol is of the roll. Ooh, I got to try that. Ooh, I got. All of a sudden, all four of my rolls are all spicy, yeah. Even though they're not all the same thing, but they're all different levels of spice. So everyone else is like, oh, I guess I won't sample any of your roll because it's way too spicy.
Well, see, okay. And my wife never reads the full description, right? She'll read like the first three things.
She'll see shrimp tempura and she's like, yep, I got that on the brain. Yeah. Sign me up.
So she looked at it. She's like, oh, this one's got crab. This one's got tuna. This one's got salmon. This one's got shrimp or whatever. Like, we'll get, you know, like that. So they're all different, except they all come out. And we all start, you know, diving in or whatever. And Reagan made some kind of comment. Oh, because she grabbed one of the end pieces of one, right? And so, you know, they always keep the tail attached.
Yep.
On that end piece for presentation. Should. Which, by the way, let me say, the cook, fantastic. Great presentation.
Awesome.
Like, one of them had this, like, flour made out of wasabi and cucumber. There was one that had, like, little hearts. Made out of, I mean, I'm assuming cucumber. Maybe it was like a green bell pepper or something. I don't know. But like little hearts.
Yeah, I've seen them with ginger or radish too.
Yeah. There was, what else did he have on there? I think one was like a little bird. Oh, a butterfly. I think the butterfly was made out of a radish. Like really, really great presentation. Anyways, so she grabs the end piece and before she puts it in her mouth, she's like, do I eat the tail? And I was like, well, I mean, that's up to you. Like, most people don't eat the tail. It's just for presentation. But, like, put it in your mouth. If you feel like if it tastes weird, then just spit it out.
Well, you can eat it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's fried, right? So, like, you could eat it.
Right, for sure.
Which she did. She's like, I don't know if I was supposed to eat it, but it was fine. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, if you enjoy it, just eat it. And so immediately as that happened, like, we had already all taken at least one piece of each. And I look down, and I see one of the other rolls also has a tail. And then I'm looking, I'm like, well, shit, all these fucking rolls have shrimp in them. So that's when I tell my wife, she's like, I didn't even realize it. She's like, I thought I picked all different rolls. So, but it was fine. Like, you can't go wrong with it, right? I was a little disappointed, though, because I always like to get a spicy salmon roll.
Sure.
And we did not get a spicy salmon roll. But but it was fine. Like I was good with trying some of these other rolls, and they were all great.
What's like? I'll tell you a protein that I always will find if I'm getting rolls, it'll be on at least one roll, and it's because I don't get it too often. I gotta have some eel.
I love eel.
Yeah, and if it has bonito flakes, give me more of those. Hell yeah! Like
Yes. Reagan's like that with the fish eggs.
Nice.
Like, if a roll has a ton of fish eggs, that's the one she wants. little black ones, not the orange ones.
Sure. Hey, I think Heather had tempura on the brain.
She probably did. And the weird thing was, I made shrimp the night before.
Yeah, but not tempura.
Matter of fact, I even made shrimp yesterday. Or today, yesterday, today, I don't know, one of these
days.
Did you
go to your fishmonger?
No, I did not. But I had shrimp left over from the other night when I made the Alfredo.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't want to just keep these shrimp in the freezer. And there weren't like a whole many left. So I ended up making – it was just like a random shit. I fried some corn up in butter, which I didn't eat that. I made some roasted Brussels sprouts. What else did I make? I made some kind of beans. I can't remember.
Oh, man.
And I did salmon and some of the leftover shrimp.
Sounds like you made up your own little paella right there.
Yeah, it was great. Well, except I didn't mix the ingredients because, you know, people are weird around here.
Darn it. Darn it.
But, yeah, eel always. And any
– It's that eel sauce. It's really eel sauce.
It is. Mm. One day I want to go, like, fishing for eel.
Ooh.
From my understanding, it's extremely difficult. Like, it's not too hard to catch them. It's a little tough to wrangle them in because they're like 4 feet long.
Yeah.
But the hard part is, you know, skinning them and filleting them.
Is it sort of like a catfish?
Yeah.
I don't think I could do that.
Except worse because they like release that slime or whatever. Catfish don't really have that. I mean, a little bit, but not really.
But still, that skin is on like leather. It's hard to get off.
But whenever I go to a sushi restaurant, the first thing I always look for is the octopus sashimi.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you look for, is the crab spelled with a K or a C?
Nope. I will tell you, most of them are definitely K crabs.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is crab, wink, wink, whitefish.
You can always tell, like, once you have real crab meat, if you go somewhere that they serve you quote unquote crab meat, you're like, this is definitely not crab meat.
Or if the roll is 250, then you know there's no way.
Yeah, there's no way.
What were you saying about sashimi?
But yeah, so I always look for the baby octopus sashimi because most places don't have it. My assumption being because unless you're a food snob, I don't think it looks very appetizing, right? To have like a full animal on a piece of rice. You know what I mean?
Hey, call me a food snob. I love that look.
I do too. If you've never had octopus, it has to be fresh, or fresh as you can get it. Because the problem with octopus, just like really anything else, is that it kind of spoils fast. You know what I mean? If it's not fresh, like fresh octopus is already kind of rubbery. Just because of the texture of the octopus meat, it's a little more like cartilage than actual meat. So it's got to be fresh. But like even within a couple days, man, if that octopus is still there, you're eating a mouthful of rubber. Like chewing on some condoms, as they say.
Yeah, I was curious, have you ever tried the octopus at Costco?
I have not.
Okay.
I don't even know if ours has octopus, to be honest with you.
Oh, interesting. All right.
I used to get a squid at Whole Foods, and they quit carrying it.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, very sad. They always asked me if I wanted it cleaned, and I'm like, no, I'll fucking clean it myself. Because, you know, they come with the insect inside of them.
Yeah.
So you got
that weird ass one translucent bone.
Yeah, the little bone, the ink sac, and a lot of times the beak even. Not always. But cutting out the ink sac's the hard part, because like if you mess it up, then guess what? Your squid is ruined. See, there we go. Welcome to Pretentious Hour with Nick and Martin.
Yes, but squid's just like octopus. You can have some fantastic of both.
Mm-hmm.
Or they are the most rubber band tasting things you've ever thrown in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so frustrating because octopus is like, oh my God, this is like lobster. Oh my God, this is so awesome.
Yeah.
Or good God, it can just be the worst.
Well, you know what the thing is there? I think it goes back to that, like the texture of the meat. Because most people eat like regular meat, right? Like chicken or beef or pork or whatever. But it's like with shrimp, right? Like, it's very easy to mess shrimp up. Like, you think, let's make some shrimp. You can't mess that up. Right? Because what do you cook shrimp for? Like, 3-4 minutes and it's done.
Yeah, you eyeball it.
Right? I mean, when it's not gray anymore, it's cooked. That's how you know. But I think with something like squid or octopus, I mean, maybe shrimp and lobster to an extent, because it's like so different, the type of meat, I think maybe people just, number one, maybe don't appreciate the taste of it. Mm-hmm. And two, the person cooking it may not necessarily know how to cook it properly.
That's how I always feel, because you could microwave lobster or shrimp and just, or overcook them like crazy. And the texture, how rubbery it is, it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. But you overcook shrimp, you overcook squid or octopus. My God, that it's the one thing you'll spit out in your napkin. Ugh.
You know what it is? I think people are so scared of what's that shit that you get from eating undercooked meat.
Undercooked meat.
You know what I'm talking about? Like salmonella. Like if you have undercooked chicken, you get salmonella.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? This is part of the reason, by the way, where I think, like, I can't eat chicken as much. Not so much because the taste, but I think in my mind, I have associated chicken with, like, the most abhorrent shit in the world. Right? Because, like, you know, chicken is, let's be real, it's not raised on the best conditions. I guess maybe most like wildly eaten meats are not, right? Like even cows and whatever. But at least cows can like sometimes roam around and eat some grass. Like chickens just stay in little, like, you know, 6x6 hole. And all they do is like shit eggs and wait to be killed for meat.
Well, they can be pasture raised though.
Well, I guess.
But, you're paying a lot of money. For mass consumption meat, yes. It's exactly how you're describing.
Although it depends, because I don't know if you know this. One of the guidelines for considering a chicken, free-range chicken, is that it has more than like at least 3 feet of space to move around in.
I always heard that they can call it free-range even though like – it's still penned up in those coops for 80% of their time.
There's
only a certain amount. So you really have to pay attention to like what farms you're buying stuff from. And guess what? You're going to pay an arm and a leg.
You are. But for some reason, like, I don't know. And I think maybe with good reason, people are used to like having overcooked meat. Yes.
McDonald's, you're getting there's no way McDonald's is serving a dollar hamburger by going like ethically sustainable. No, they're not. A dollar hamburger is not being, it's for mass consumption.
Yeah, sure. But like, I get this with like burgers all the time or steak, right? Mm-hmm. So I think I told you we went to, Red Robin a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Right. And I asked for my burger, medium rare.
Mm.
And my wife looked at me like I was crazy. She's like, "You're getting your burger medium rare?" And I said, "Yeah, I want to taste the fucking cow."
I would give you the same look, but I would say I would put an addendum on to her question. You're getting it medium rare at Red Robin?
Well, and here's the thing, because my burger came out, and we'll just say it was not medium rare. I wouldn't even say it was medium.
Wow, really?
I would say it was well done.
It was gray.
There was no pink in that meat.
Wow. Maybe that was for the best, though.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe.
But
if that hamburger was $22, then I would want it medium rare. I'll agree with you there.
Sure, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
But, I don't want a 16-year gauging what a medium rare burger is at Red.
You know, Nick, I can go outside and get struck by lightning. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not worried about it. I mean, I'm not going to eat a raw piece of chicken, I'll tell you that, because that shit's nasty.
You enjoy that explosive diarrhea.
Well, like yesterday at the sushi place, we got some tuna tartare.
Well, yeah, I would trust the sushi place, yeah.
I mean, maybe. How do you know, though? Hey,
you're rolling the dice no matter what, but I would trust the
sushi place. That's what I'm saying.
Over, like, Johnny Rockets.
Ugh. You know you can't even order food at Johnny Rockets anymore?
What? What do you order?
My wife was very upset. So,
what are you talking about?
This was a few weeks ago. Went to Frankie's Fun Park. It's kind of like what's the other place? Dave and Buster's or whatever. Except they also have like go karts and they have putt putt and whatever. Nice. And they have a Johnny Rockets in there.
Okay.
Well, you can't order food at Johnny Rockets anymore. You have to go to the concession stand and place your order and walk into the restaurant and they bring you your food when it's ready.
What?
You don't order at the Johnny Rockets.
What is this? That is crazy.
Right?
So there's no menu at Johnny Rockets. There's just like you can sit down with that number and they bring out the food.
Yeah. So my wife's like, fuck this. We're out of here.
As she was like, I was going to have a chocolate shake and fries. Not anymore.
Not anymore. Yep. Shameful. Wow. F you, Johnny Rockets.
Wow. That's very bizarre.
It is. It is. I agree.
Dang.
So what else is new with you, Nick?
Oh, yeah. You know, living. This week was darn good. I had some fantastic discussions with strangers about myself and my work ethic.
Which oh, was, I like it.
Yeah, really good. It felt very good. Felt neat. But now you're in one of those waiting circles. Like, we'll get back to you in 3 weeks. Like, oh God. All right. You run to stall out. Other than that, I watched 6 episodes of The Boys.
And
I think I'm liking it more than the comic at this point.
I like it more than the comic for sure.
Yeah. I think I like the tone more for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it seems like if you're not in the mood while reading the comic book, the jokes are not landing where you sort of, you get spoon fed the humor pretty well in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. I love the show.
Yeah. Very good.
What else did you watch?
I didn't watch all that much, to be honest with you. I was doing a lot more reading than watching, so.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah.
How about
I watched a few things.
Oh, do tell.
I watched Another Life on Netflix.
Another Life.
Yeah, it's the new Katie Sackhoff show, sci-fi
oh,
show.
Oh, and?
It was interesting.
Is it a Western, like her previous one?
No. It's, okay. It's sci-fi in space.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, there's been cowboys in space.
That's true. That's true. It was, I don't know. I don't know if I can't recommend it. I enjoyed it.
What?
I enjoyed it. But it's one of those things that, like, I don't know if I could recommend. Because it's got, like, some really interesting ideas.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, it even, like, starts off kind of like Arrival, one of the best movies of all time. But
so this is smart sci-fi.
Well, it tries to be smart sci-fi.
Oh, darn it. Okay.
But I think it ends up being a little too CW sometimes.
Dang it.
Like, everyone's beautiful.
A lot of good-looking people.
Everyone's
yeah,
beautiful.
Sure.
Matter of fact,
and smart.
The guy that played Superman in the CW Arrowverse stuff,
okay,
he's one of the characters in this.
Mm.
The girl that played Cisco's girlfriend in The Flash, she's in this.
All right.
It's cool. It's got a lot of cool concepts. Some that, like, they never talk about. Like, in the first or second episode, they're talking about, like, Yang Mills' mass gap theory. And they just never bring it up again. And I'm like, well, that's disappointing.
Darn. How was Katie Sackhoff?
She plays Katie Sackhoff.
Okay. I like that.
So it's good. There's cool stuff. If you want to, like, a fun sci-fi show, like, every episode's basically self-contained, like Monster of the Week kind of thing, rather, like, Problem on the Ship of the Week, then it's fine.
So Star Trek.
Yeah, to an extent.
I mean, they always had either a bad thing happen of the week or a sci-fi concept that they had to do.
Yeah. So it was interesting. I can't, like, recommend it, but I will say that I enjoyed it. And they do set it up for a second season, so that's kind of cool.
Is this only on Netflix, or was this on another channel?
Yeah,
and then
No. It's a Netflix original.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yep. So I watched that. That was okay. I watched a few indie movies. For one, I watched one of my favorite movies of all time, not Arrival, although that is great. I watched Dark City again, the director's cut.
Oh, yeah. Because
I hadn't watched that in a few years.
Was that on Netflix? Was that streaming?
No, I had to rent it.
Dang it. Okay.
Did I rent it or did I buy it? I think I bought it, actually, because they had a director's cut on Amazon.
And how different was the director's cut?
It didn't seem that different, to be honest.
Okay.
I think maybe there were a few more scenes with the, spoiler alert, aliens.
Oh.
Underground.
Yeah, you don't really need to see that. Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, that movie's fantastic, though. It, you know what's really weird? So every time I watch it, I say this. Because it came out in 98, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then The Matrix came out in 99.
Yep.
So there's a lot of similarities, story-wise, between The Matrix and Dark City.
Yeah, and even marketing-wise.
Yeah. Oh, really? I don't remember the marketing.
Yeah.
But I was – this time that I watched it, I looked more at, like, cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there is no way the Wachowskis did not see this movie before they made The Matrix. Because, like – I mean, obviously, like, kind of the gothic New York type of atmosphere is mm-hmm. in there, but, like, the green tinge that you have in The Matrix in the real world, right?
Yeah.
Not in, well, in The Matrix world. You know how everything's green tinged? Like, Dark City mm-hmm. has that the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Until the end when he makes a son. One of the strangers, the one that gets implanted with his memories. That he has to fight at the end, like mm-hmm. he is straight up Agent Smith. You know mm. what I mean?
Mm.
Like even the strangers that are after Murdoch remind me of the three agents in The Matrix. So there's three of them,
mm-hmm.
and there's three in The Matrix. Like there's no way they did not see this movie before they made The Matrix.
That was some good sci-fi noir. That's for sure.
Yeah, Dark City is fantastic.
So it still holds up pretty well, huh?
Yeah, I thought so. Great. I think there's a couple things that I would maybe change. I just don't know how I would change them. Like towards the end when the inspector is fighting that one stranger and they like jump out of that, well, not jump out. They throw themselves out of that hole and they're floating through space.
Mm-hmm.
I maybe would change that and maybe a couple things. But other than that, yeah, it holds up. Plus Jennifer Connelly, yum, yum, yum.
Yeah.
Mm. I love any movie with Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, even she the new Top Gun coming out.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it just for Jennifer Connelly.
Heck yeah.
So I rewatched that. Fantastic. 10 out of 10 still. Highly recommended. Watch Dark City. But great. I watched a couple of indie flicks.
Ooh.
Three, in fact.
Jeez.
I watched 41. I watched Traveling Salesman. And I watched The Frame.
Jeez.
And I would say they were all fantastic.
Huh.
There were a couple scenes in The Frame that blew my mind, so I'm going to do that one last.
Were these streaming?
Yes, these are all on Amazon Prime.
Okay, good to know. Thank
you. So I'm sure you can find them somewhere else, but that's where I saw them. So 41, these were actually all recommended, like, through each other.
Hmm.
So I don't know what I watched something, or I was looking for something, and 41 was recommended, so I watched it. 41 is a time travel story.
Oh boy, that's a Ferretti special.
It is a Ferretti special. Oh, you know what it was? I was thinking about watching Time Crimes, which I think is one of the best sci-fi movies ever. One of the best time travel movies, let me say. It's a Spanish film, so I can't remember the name of the original film. But go watch it, Time Crimes. I think it's streaming on Prime. If it's not on Prime, just do like a 7-day free trial of Shudder. I know it's on Shudder.
Okay.
Time Crimes. Fantastic. But anyway, so this 41 came up and I was like, let me watch the trailer. Cause I don't like to watch a whole lot of indie films. But for some reason, like the trailer caught my eye. So I was like, all right. So I started watching it. And it ended up being pretty cool. So the basic gist of it is, this guy is kind of a deadbeat, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And he meets this older guy who tells him not to go to this hotel, and don't look under the floor in the bathroom in room 41.
Oh no.
So of course he goes to the motel and he's looking in the bathroom in room 41 and he sees the spot on the floor and he lifts up the wooden flooring and it's just a hole. So he like climbs in it. And then when he comes out, he's traveled 12 hours into the past.
Whoa.
Okay.
That sounds like that Stephen King thing, except he travels back to Kennedy time.
Yeah, the 11-22-63.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess similar to that. So,
but I like the concept. I like this.
It's cool, and it's only 12 hours.
Yeah. Cool, yeah.
So he goes back 12 hours and starts looking around, and like stuff happens, and that's when hilarity ensues. So he has to travel back again 12 hours and tries to fix some things and ends up messing him further. So he goes back again, and it keeps going back and forth like this, right? Mm-hmm. Then they do a little time travel theory. He goes to like his philosophy professor, he's a philosophy major, has these like, I guess like wine meetings. Like they just, a few professors get together and drink wine and talk theory and play games or whatever.
Sure.
And so he goes and talks to them and whatever. And so that's when he starts getting some ideas on maybe how he can fix some things. And then he goes back to the room and goes in and comes out and goes in and out, in and out, in and out a bunch of times. And so you see like time going backwards. Cause remember, 12 hours at a time. So if he wants to go back like a month, he would have to get in and out of the hole like 60 times.
Yikes.
Right? So that's where I'll leave it at. But, basically every time he goes back, he's trying to save his ex-girlfriend from dying in a car accident. Because part of the problem is in this car accident, she dies and he's the driver. And so he gets arrested for manslaughter.
Oh, jeez.
So he needs to fix that. And like, even when he's not driving, he still gets arrested. So he has these like FBI guys after him. So there is a way to fix it, but I don't want to spoil how he fixes it. He has to go back a lot more than 12 hours. We'll just say that.
Wow.
So it ended up being pretty interesting. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that sounds good. I like that concept.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. The second one was Traveling Salesman. I also really enjoyed this one, but I will tell you, I cannot recommend it because this is not for 99% of people.
Really?
Because basically it's the entire movie takes place in one room and it's four mathematicians talking to an NSA guy. Because they have figured out the answer to the P versus NP problem. So as a result, I cannot recommend it because everyone's like, what the fuck is he talking about right now? P versus NP is like one of the most complicated mathematical problems in computer science. Basically, like, how can you find a way to solve a hard problem in an easy way and verify it in an easy way? So, for example, there are certain problems that are easy to figure out, like 1 plus 1, right? You can instantly tell me what 1 plus 1 is. And if you wanted to check how I found that answer, you could very quickly do that. Okay, so those are math problems figured out in polynomial time. There are certain problems that are very hard to figure out, but you can easily check it, right? So I can't think of a really big number. But let's just say, like, if I said, Nick, I want you to factor out 121, right? A harder number, 1,347,640, okay? Like, it would take you a long time to give me the factors of that, right? It would be a lot of math involved. But like, once you figure it out and you have your answer, you can easily give me that answer and I can go back and check it and find that answer very fast. Okay? Cause I can be like, oh yeah, you know, 1 + 2 + 3 + 7 + 9 is whatever this number.
Sure.
So those are very hard problems that are quickly checkable, but they're very hard to figure out the answer. So those are figured out in non-polynomial time. So there's this theory where maybe we just can't figure out NP problems because we're not smart enough. And if we were to figure out some kind of mathematical formula or shortcut to find an answer to these problems, we would be able to figure them out just as quickly as problems in P time, in polynomial time. So of course the implication for this is mostly computer science. So like if you wanted to break an algorithm, right, it's very hard to find a decryption key for an algorithm. But once you have the key, you can easily decrypt whatever message you have, right? Because you have the key, you have the problem, you put them together, you get your answer.
It's like a decoder ring.
Yes, exactly. So this movie basically deals with these four mathematicians that were hired by the NSA to figure out the P versus NP problem. And they crack it, and so a lot of the movie has to do with their findings and whether they want to allow the NSA to use it for whatever they want to use it. And they talk about, like, you know, economic implications, and this, that, and the other. And, of course, they have to sign, like, NDAs, and they get a bunch of money if they sign it, all this stuff. It was interesting. But, again, it's basically, like, an hour and a half of, like, deeply philosophical talk about math. And so, not for everybody. But I enjoyed it. And the ending's very odd, but I thought it made sense with the way that the movie progressed. Because basically they build, like, this computer processor for the NSA that can do non-deterministic math. So it can give the NSA, like, all the answers immediately. And this guy, one of the guys that was working on the problem, ended up making this backdoor. And when he uses it, it actually causes, like, the whole power grid to fail. So now nobody has access to this stuff. It was interesting. Again, just very philosophical, so I don't recommend it. But if you want if you want your brain to hurt a little bit for, you know, an hour and a half, then I do recommend it. Because it is an interesting problem. It is an interesting problem. That's actually one of the things that I've been reading about lately. The other one was I had this weird dream. I had this dream that I met this alien. This was not on mushrooms, by the way. This is just like a regular dream.
Sure.
That I met this alien, but the alien could not speak. Okay.
Okay.
The way that this alien communicated was like instantly projecting an image into my eye.
Ooh.
And so it's not like, let's, like right now, for example, right? I'm sitting in this room and I'm looking at my computer. It's not like this alien would show me itself looking at the computer. It would also like convey emotion and meaning and all that, just from an image, okay? That's how I would see it. Now, the thing is, the alien is blind, so the image he is conveying me is through sound, okay? So it had me thinking, and this is super weird, but it came in a dream. It had me thinking, like, how different would it be if, like, we didn't have eyes? And, like, if everything I communicated to you was simply through my voice? How would I convey it? Because, like, if you're online, right? If you're like, on Twitter, this happens all the time. People get super upset because they don't, like, fully understand what you're saying because there's only so much meaning you convey in, like, words that you're putting on a message, right? You don't get the intonation. You don't get pronunciation. You don't get feeling. You don't get emotion. You don't get, like, the impetus behind what you're saying. What if there was a way to do that, like, through sound? Like, I just sound a word to you, and that word immediately describes my complete intention of what I'm saying, plus, like, the particular image, right? And I think maybe, like, they touch upon this a little bit in, like, Arrival. You know how, like, the aliens just, like, squirt the ink, and it just creates a sentence?
Yeah.
So it's like that, but with sound instead of an image. So I started reading about like if there would be a way to do this, and I found the most fascinating thing. This is where we're just talking about math. They're called Hilbert curves, and apparently there have been studies on how to convert images into sounds, and it blew my mind.
Wow!
I don't want to go into it, but if I remember, I'll put a link in the show notes to a video that I found on how this is done. And it was fucking fascinating, Nick. Like taking a picture and they draw this line through all the pixels where the line only crosses each pixel one time. And then you take that line that you drew and you spread it out, you straighten it out. Mm-hmm. And so now the pixels run in a straight line across and like you can assign a sound and a particular frequency of a sound to each pixel. And so if you could hear a song, and I mean, a person probably couldn't process all that information and make it into a picture. But like, if you put it through an algorithm at a computer, the computer could recreate the picture from this sound that you played. It was awesome.
Isn't that like, certain people, I forget what it's called, the term is, but people see like music or sound waves as colors?
Yes.
I forget the term, but I know there is a term for that.
It's called synesthesia.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
Yes, kind of. I think that would be part of it. I'm talking about like expressing an entire sentence, an image with intention and emotion, right? Like the reason it's easier to communicate person to person is because a lot of what we're saying is not verbal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's handset gestures and facial expressions and stuff. I'm talking about like including all of that into a sound. Anyways, I don't know how, oh yeah, because I was talking about this math movie. So the last one that I watched is The Frame. Now,
okay.
I don't know if this is a sequel.
Okay.
Okay. I will say I really enjoyed it. If it is a sequel, I don't know if you need to watch the first one.
Oh, wow.
But it is, hang on, let's find out who directed this, because I think it's Winan something. The Frame, Inc. Let's see here. Of course, do not DuckDuckGo Frame, Inc., because then you'll get printer ink cartridges.
Oh, gosh.
Director. Jameen Winans is the director. He also wrote the film. His first movie was called Ink. The one that I watched is The Frame. So having watched The Frame, I do wonder if I need to watch Ink, because at one point, things start degenerating into blobs of ink.
Wow.
And there's a character that I'm pretty sure I saw in the trailer of Ink.
Ooh.
When I watched the trailer for that. So
neat.
It might be like...
How old is this film?
The Frame is from 2014.
Oh, I wonder if he's working on anything recently.
Let's see. Ink came out in 2009. So he does a movie every 6 years. He did a film before that in 2005. So maybe this year or next year.
So see you next year.
See you next year. This movie was awesome.
Ooh.
But when I started watching it, I was like, this movie is fucking terrible. Okay? Because I start watching this, and it plays out like kind of a tired action flick, to be honest with you. Maybe not action flick. It's just like, it doesn't seem to really be going anywhere. Because you have two main characters, right? And like, they're totally disconnected. One works for like this Mexican drug cartel. Like the movie opens with an action scene. Like this guy and his crew go in and steal some semis, and they fight it out with the cops. Like there's a bunch of killing or whatever. The other main character is a EMT, and so like the first big scene she has, she gets a call to go to this house, and there's a woman laying on the floor. Apparently, her husband has beat her almost nearly to death. Their kid is the one that called 911, and so. Like, she's trying to save this woman's life, and her partner's basically, like, fist-fighting with this drunk deadbeat guy. Anyways, so that's basically the setup for the two main characters. And as the movie progresses, you're like, all right, like, both of these characters have really shitty lives, they have a lot of problems, but, like, what's the deal, right? Like, this just seems like, I don't want to say, like, a true crime thing, but it's like watching Criminal Minds or something, you know what I mean? It's like, eh, or, you know, NCIS, something like that.
Sure.
But then, like, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes in, the guy gets home and he's watching TV. And then on the TV is the girl, right? And she's sitting on her couch watching TV. And he's like, what the heck is going on? And so he thinks that, like, the cartel has set up surveillance in his house and they're watching him. Because he's trying to get out, right? He's, like, trying to get a fake passport and whatever to get out of the cartel. And so, like, shit happens based on that. And then, you know, he goes back home. He's watching TV again. And there she is. And he's like, what the F? What are you doing on my TV? And she's like, hello, there's somebody there? Like, are you talking to me? Like, what's happening right now? And as the movie progresses, the girl's like, this must be some kind of joke because I watch your show on TV.
Hmm.
And he's like, no, this is bullshit because I watch your show on TV. Spoiler alert for the rest of this movie. As it turns out, both of these people are real, or maybe neither of them are real. So, in her world, he is an actor on a TV show called, like, Saints and Thieves, I think it is. It's kind of like the show Prison Break, mixed in with, like, Breaking Bad. And so, like, she watches his show every week. So she kind of knows, like, what's going to happen to him before he does. Right? And kind of the same for him. She's an EMT in this like ER type show.
But to them, they're living their own realities, not knowing they're in TV shows.
Correct.
Or part of it.
Correct. So when they start figuring this out, he's like, "Where do you live? I'm going to go talk to you in person. This is bullshit." So he gets the address. He goes to see her, knocks on the apartment, and some dude that answers. He's like, "Where's such and such?" And he's like, "Dude, there's nobody here by that name." And you look around, and like, he's in her apartment. She's still watching the TV waiting for him. And, you know, they look around. They're not in the same place. They decide to meet, like, by this bridge. And they're literally sitting next to each other. But obviously, they're not in the same world. And so as, like, that kind of stuff starts unraveling, it gets deeper and deeper. And it ends up that there's actually a character that knows both of them. So the head of the cartel is the same actor that plays her psychologist. Except you can't really tell because when he's a cartel guy, he's like tan. He's got a beard and whatever. He's a pasty white dude when he's a psychologist. But he's also a third character who we later find out is the devil. And he looks like a homeless dude that rides around this motorcycle like covering things in ink. She finds a way to communicate with him, and as a result, ends up in this room called, which I think is called the frame. And it's basically a typewriter typing underneath a TV screen, and it's basically writing the scripts for this TV show. And then later, he finds the room after she saves him, and he tries to rewrite her story on the typewriter. It's really good. It's well done. And at the end, the two characters do meet. And there's a lot of like cool, weird, psychological, like philosophical stuff in this movie that I really, really enjoyed. So I've got Ink queued up on it, which is the director's first movie. Just because I want to see like
what the prediction is. I like the breaking down of that third wall. I like that in films. I think that's neat.
Yeah, and the way that it's done is really well done, Nick. And for an indie film, like the cinematography is really high quality. And the way some of the effects are done is really cool, especially once you start learning the mystery of what's happening in this movie. Again, I feel like you need to get through like the first 20, 25 minutes at least, where it's just like very stereotypical, I would say. But once you learn kind of what's going on, it's like a roller coaster ride, and the rest of the next hour goes by really fast.
And I'm not making a comparison to it and not saying that this film's even close to being as good as that one. But did you ever see Colossal with Anne Hathaway?
No, I need to watch that.
But you know what I'm talking
about.
It's Anne Hathaway's watching, what is it, a Gaijin?
Kaiju.
On destroying Seoul, Korea, and then all of a sudden throughout the movie, she realizes that she's actually the kaiju controlling the kaiju through the TV. I like when they play with that they're staring at a television screen, but yet they're interacting with what's on television or in a movie. I think that's a neat thing to play with.
Yeah, it is. It's very cool. So it deals a lot with, you know, some of the themes I like in, like, Grant Morrison, for example. So if you liked Invisibles, you might like this movie. Nick, you liked Invisibles. You should watch this.
I might have to check out Inked and then...
Well, watch The Frame, because I haven't watched Ink yet.
I'll wait till you report back.
All right. I'll let you know how Ink went.
Yeah, because if they're related, I want to know that. And I want to go in watching them in the correct order.
Yeah. It might be like, what's that guy that I hate, the Von Trier guy, where like the movies are connected just by theme alone, right? But they're a trilogy.
Yeah, he's pretty artsy fartsy.
Yeah.
Lars von Trier. And I certainly don't want to go in depth on this, but I do want to mention I did see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes.
And I was pretty stoked, pretty blown away by it. I'm not going to go into the whole thing. I don't want to ruin anything. But coming out of the film made me want to watch a Manson documentary, especially after, I don't know if you read, I think it was a New York Times article on this new book that was just put out by Tom O'Neill. Did you ever read that article?
Uh-uh.
He's pretty much calling BS to the Vincent Bulugosi book, that Helter Skelter book.
Yeah.
That is how old? 3 decades old, sure. 4 decades old. And that was the end all be all because he was the one that prosecuted Manson and Manson's clan. But Tom O'Neill completely calls BS to that. And even the book is called Chaos, Charles Manson, the CIA, and the Secret History of the 60s. Hmm. And he, by reading this Times article, it states that, like, oh, maybe it was the CIA. Maybe it was the experimentation with the different drugs that might have altered Charles Manson a little bit. And the whole, like, Helter Skelter. Like he certainly did believe that like the like counterculture is going to rise up against mainstream culture, you know, all that stuff, but it didn't go into like the kookiness that Vincent Bulugosi or however you pronounce his name, what he championed. So it's interesting to go back and like, oh, this is a different take on a topic that a lot of people are pretty familiar with. But coming out of that film, my God, I so want 2020 or Primetime or Netflix original. Everyone's putting out all these Ted Bundy movies, yes, and documentaries. Where's the Charles Manson one? That's the one I want to see.
What's the name of this new book?
Chaos, Charles Manson, the CIA, and the Secret History of the 60s.
Gotcha.
I'm sure you can grab it on Audible if you want.
Amazon's so good. I just typed in chaos and it came up.
Of course it did. But yeah, I think that's going to be, I put the book in my queue. I can't wait to start it. So should be interesting. And that all came from Mr. Quentin Tarantino. So
I might have to get this for my wife.
There you go. I wish that was a Netflix eight part documentary. I would like it even more, but hey,
I'm curious because I actually heard something similar to what you're saying about the Kool-Aid guy. What was his name? Jones.
Jim Jones.
Jim Jones.
Yep. What, that didn't happen the way it's been reported all these years?
Yeah. Because something about he was part of the LSD experiments that the CIA was doing.
Hmm. Interesting.
Huh.
Yeah.
I might have to read this.
It's on Audible, buddy.
I will have to read this. Yes, it is. Huh.
I just like that somebody's looking over, because it sort of makes sense that this is the prosecutor coming out with a book. Could he have insider information? For sure.
Yeah.
But was he ever a journalist? How many people are fact-checking him? Or are they just taking it at face value? I'm not sure. But I find it fascinating that this reporter has come at it with a different angle.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it was New York Times, or it might have been the New Yorker wrote a big article on it a couple weeks ago. So
let's see here. Is it going to be about the book or the author?
I believe it was about the author, but I learned about both.
Let's see here, and we'll find out. Well, if it's the New York Times, it's not showing up on DuckDuckGo.
Uh-oh.
Hmm.
I'll be The Guardian.
The Guardian.
Oh, here, New York Times. Oh, no. Was that it? New York Times. I think this was it. New York Times. 7/28/2019.
Gotcha.
Yep, this is the one I read.
I will find it.
Yes, I can put that in our... in our chat. I will do that right now.
Yep, there it is. Got it. Journalist misses headline on Manson article by 20 years.
There you go.
Yep, got it. Very cool.
Yeah, it's just it. Not to, I don't want everything to be called BS, but I would like somebody to review facts more than once.
Yeah, especially in a big case like that, right?
Yeah.
A lot of times you get this, like,
Am I a revisionist? Did I not see the Barbara Walters interview, the Geraldo Rivera interview with Charles Manson, where he's dancing around acting completely psychotic and crazy? Do I think that he's normal? Things didn't happen. No. The facts are the facts. But what got everything to that point? Could that have been different? Yeah, possibly.
Mm.
Do I think that he wasn't commanding people or no? I think I still believe that rhetoric, but hey, I want to know what the hell happened.
Do I think he's playing a character? Yes. I've always thought that. Like, there's no way this dude is not real, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
If people expect him to be this crazy fucking guy, and that's how he's getting attention, he's going to be the crazy fucking guy.
I'm sure if he already knows he's not going to get out in his lifetime, why not act crazy?
Yeah,
well, he be alone.
He died now, right? He died last year.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I think like right before Christmas.
Yeah, it's pretty kooky. Some of the things that they went into, especially about the CIA and it being the 60s.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah,
very very good. So I have
fantastic film. I highly recommend everyone go see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, I want to see it. I heard interesting things about it, in both directions, both good and bad.
Yeah, and shouldn't if you're going to do a film, don't you sort of want that? You don't want everybody loving it or everybody hating it. Like you should have both.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't just be a Rotten Tomatoes score of 62. Which is right down the middle. That's just average, guys.
Is that what the score is, 62?
I don't know.
I don't either. I never look at those scores anyway.
If I was a director, I'd rather like my film to be 95 or 45. If my rating was 62, then I'd be a little pissed off because it's like I'm not eliciting any emotion, positive or negative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's see here. 85.
Oh, there you go.
Tomato meter 85, audience score 70.
For me it was much higher, but well, to each their own.
I would say those are very good scores. 70, not a real score, but okay. I mean, good cast though, right?
Oh, great cast.
Yeah, the cast is fantastic.
Yeah, it was a great Elseworlds film.
Yes,
probably the best Elseworlds film I've ever seen. So.
Oh, Dakota Fanning is in this.
Yes.
Luke Carey, he's dead.
Oh, yeah. See, you shouldn't even be. Stop reading IMDb, fool.
Wait, is Luke Perry Manson?
No, he is not Manson. But when he came on screen, I was like, oh my God, Luke Perry. It was great.
So apparently there's a 90210 reboot. Did you know this?
Yes.
I did not know this. Aaron Bell told me.
Did you know, I think it was on Hulu that they did a documentary on the reunion?
Oh, wow.
Which had them going to, I think, a convention and talking about getting together 25 years later.
Huh.
I would rather like to watch the documentary than the reboot.
Wow. All right. Well, then.
Yeah, I think it's a Hulu thing.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. I'm going to leave you with one last tidbit, Nick, and then we're going to wrap it up.
All right.
Because, you know, this episode, our last episode hasn't come out yet.
Nope.
So I can't judge how people think I'm crazy now, but I do want to recommend the book that I read.
Great.
That has been great.
Okay.
I've reread it a couple of times in the past few weeks. And that is The Upanishads. Go read it. It's fantastic. You'll get some very interesting insights. I believe Sparky read it recently also.
Who is it by?
The Upanishads. It's by unknown because it's ancient Hindu scriptures.
Oh, okay.
But yes, very good. I got a new translation. I think it came out, I don't know, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting and really good. Some interesting words to live by.
Great.
Highly recommended.
I might have to look that up.
You should. It's very good. I think the book that I got is like $10. So, I mean, and, $10.
And to answer your other question before I sign us off, you aren't going crazy. And it's been fantastic to have you back.
Oh, well,
thank
you.
Back in the saddle.
Well, thank you.
Yes, I love it. I love the deep dives. I love the insight.
We're not doing much insight yet. Maybe soon. We'll see.
Well, the first episode back was very good. Very insightful. I liked it.
And see, if you were wondering, this was kind of a normal Nerdy Legion episode. Welcome to the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick Wentmore. Thank you for listening. Of course, you can find us on Twitter at Nick Wentmore, at Geekvine, at Nerdy Legion. We'll see you on the next one.